Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jared Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. And men, as always, I like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's show. Now, whether you've been a longtime subscriber or you're brand new to this thing, welcome. I'm thankful that you're here. When you get the opportunity, when you're done listening to this podcast, of course, visit some of the links in the show notes. One of them would be our website, thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find this podcast episode, the whole catalog of previous episodes. You can see what's available in the gear store. Sign up for a framework field notes, which goes out every week, focusing in on one aspect of our framework for biblical manhood. There's a whole bunch more in those links. But the last one there is going to be Loader Road Goods, who is the sponsor of the Wednesday A Quiet Life podcast. Now, I spent a little time sitting outside before I came in to do this, and I thought, the seasons are changing. When seasons change, needs change. And perhaps there's something you need to get when you think about Easter weekend, which would be Sunday, March 31st, or, you know, graduation or some gift coming up here in the next couple months. Consider Loader Road Goods. You put in the discount code, A Quiet Life, you'll save 15% off of your order when you check out. Men, it's time for today's podcast conversation.
All right, I want to start by telling you something. I feel like I owe this to you. I think it was the last Quiet Life podcast, I talked about that Write in the Rain journal, binder, whatever you want to call that thing, planner that I was using. And like the next day, or maybe it was that day, I started using this journal. I'm holding it up. You can see the journal cover from Loader Road Goods. I started using this, and I was looking. I'm like, this is just way better. It takes up less space. It fits in my backpack better. It lays well in the car seat. Has a little sleeve over here for that. I'm a little extra sometimes. It has a spot for your pen. I didn't even realize that till the other day. So that's what I'm working with now. Continually filling that up. I've heard from some of you guys, people that you're coming in contact with, people that you're trying to encourage, that you're trying to pray with. So cool. Man, I heard from a guy the other day. His name is Dan. He was in Tribe for a while, and he was talking about just trying to be more courageous and speaking up and bold. And I'm like, yeah, there's no downside to that, to men of God who are like, hey, let me tell you something, or how can I encourage you, or how can I pray for you, or what, compliment them, whatever it is. The world could certainly use more of that, and we need it as well. The more courage and boldness we live with, I just think more opportunities God's going to open up. So last Friday, I went to a thing called BizTown, and this is my third stint at BizTown. Every fifth grader goes through it, and because my wife works at the school, I'm up, and I've done it. And, you know, BizTown is this thing where kids for a couple months apply for jobs. They learn to apply for these positions. They learn what CEO, CFO, all these different things are. And then it comes this culmination of this day where these kids come to this place, and it looks like a city. There's a city hall. There's businesses. There's a radio station. There's banks. All this stuff. And so for me, they would call the adults mentors. And so we're to try to keep them on task and kind of get out of the way, because a lot of them really do know what they're doing, and they're excited, and they're all fired up for it. And they're going around to different businesses, getting signatures and selling things and paying off their loans and doing payroll. And it's pretty incredible. I think high school, like juniors and seniors, should go to BizTown so they learn to apply for jobs and work at least a 4-day, 4 hours is what it comes out to. And I was telling the lady that I was, that was the mentor with me at our particular business, I said, you know, my third time, that it's so cool to see these kids come in so excited for BizTown, and they've been working at this, and they can't wait to see what their business looks like. And, but because I've done this a few times, especially my oldest kid, there were kids that worked at that business where I was a mentor at. And now you hear stories, and it's heartbreaking. You know, this one's into drugs. This young man dates other young men. This person cuts himself. This person's parents are doing this. I mean, you hear these stories and you're like, are you serious? Like, that kid was so funny, or that they were so excited. And you saw like just the wide-eyedness of that individual. And then 7 years from fifth grade to 12th grade. And you're grown men, you know that 7 years, man, just flies by. But you look at 7 years of these kids' lives, and boy, it can unravel quickly. And I think we have a responsibility to that. First and foremost, to the people who reside within your home, but it cannot stay there. You have to get your camp right, but it can't stay there. It cannot be a hunker down, bunker down mentality, us against the world, good luck everybody else. If I have the conviction, and I know you guys do as well, then we also have to look for ways that we can pour into and invest into the lives of others beyond a BizTown experience. But looking for those ways, whether it's, you know, volunteering at school or at your church, serving in different capacities, whatever, but just letting kids know, like, I believe in you. Like, you have a future. Like I said before, like, when I drive by elementary schools and kids are outside playing and stuff, like, I've worked there. I know that as adults, sometimes when you work there, you're like, I just need a break, you know. But I pray for those kids. I pray just a very sweeping prayer for all the kids out there, all the volunteers out there. Like, I don't want to miss on that. I don't want to miss on that. And I want these kids to know that God loves them, Jesus loves them, that they have a hope, they have a future. Like, because some of them don't know that. They don't know that. And I was coming across this in Joshua 4 the other day, and this is kind of the hook of what I want to talk about. Joshua 4, verse 6, we're talking about crossing the Jordan. And God says, when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Context. They were going to cross into the Jordan. The priests had to step into the Jordan first. They had to put their feet into the water. Now, I grew up right on the Mississippi River. There are certain parts of Mississippi River you just don't step into. You step into it, you're going to literally go down the Mississippi River. So you step into the part. They had to have some courage. They had to have faith in God. They step in. When their feet went into the waters parted. Now, they were to come to the other side. He says, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe of man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. That's Joshua 4, 2, and 3. That's spoken before, obviously, before we get to 6 and 7, what I just read. So when he said, in time to come, your kids are going to see these stones, and they're going to ask you, what's the point of these rocks? What does this mean? Now, as I thought about that, I think about all the things we're trying to do in our, at least in our country, in America, trying to tear things down. We're trying to say certain things didn't this and didn't that, and this person this and this person that. You tear it down and you forget. And you forget the things that you were supposed to remember. And you can do all that, but it doesn't really change anything. God said, it's not going to change anything, but I want these stones there so that in time, when your children ask you, he said, it's not if they ask you, it's when they ask you, what do these mean? And he actually says, what do these mean to you? They may mean nothing to me. I don't pay. No, it means something, whether you acknowledge it or not. As I'm reading that, I'm thinking about that. There's a couple more places in Scripture we want to get to. The next will be Deuteronomy 6. Verse 20. But it got me thinking about, I got some friends and, we go hiking from time to time, and as a matter of fact, I was thinking the other day, it's been quite a while since we've went on a little hike. We need to fix that, but anyhow, hiking from time to time, and every once in a while, we find one of these rocks, okay? And some people call this rock hounding. I didn't know that phrase till a few years ago, but you find a rock, and you say, hey, I'm gonna take that with me. I'm gonna remember this place. Now, I know there's people who say don't move anything at any of those places. Listen, it's a rock. It didn't take a lot of space. And I know if everyone took a rock, then I get it. Okay, don't miss the point. The point is, I take this, I take it home, and I put it somewhere so that when I see it, I remember. So you say, well, what does that rock represent? Well, this rock in my hand, particular right now, is a trip to Tennessee. And this was from Tennessee because I thought in the moment, I don't think so much right now, I thought in the moment it kind of looked like Tennessee. So when I saw it, I thought, I'm going to remember this trip. Sometimes I'll write on the back of them. I didn't on this one because I knew I'd remember. I'll write on the back of maybe the date or location, and then that means something to me. But I don't just collect rocks. Like, I'm looking around and I got things to my right. I got things in front of me. We got things around the house that represent certain things. And in time, when our kids might ask us, why do you have that, or what is that, or what's that from, we can tell them the story. I have a feeling that as grownups, we've lost the rock hounding when it comes to our walk with the Lord. We've lost it. We don't collect these things. These things are not to be hoarders. They are to be reminders, to help us remember what the good Lord has done. And I think we kind of get into a groove of walking with Him, and it's just day in and day out, and it gets a little monotonous. So if someone were to say, well, when's the last time God really did something in your life? You're like, I don't know. Maybe it's a, man, it's nothing wrong with having a thing to say that sits on my desk, that sits in my car, that sits in my garage, whatever. So it serves as a reminder. I told you guys about the, I got holding up right now, this old rock from last summer. And it was that statement, Uncle Jerry will do something about it. And I want to remember that. When I see that, I remember that and say, I want to be the guy that if things start to unravel, they'll say, he'll do something about it. Why do I say all that? Because our kids need to know the story. Our kids need to know how God is working in our life. And it's not always easy. They have a life. I have a 10-year-old. I have a 16-year-old and 18-year-old. They have lives. They have things. They have friends. They have homework. They have things that stress them. And so do I. So does my wife. And so if you have these things, or if you have these kind of, not necessarily monuments, but these little things or whatever they are, pictures, whatever, around the house. Everything's digital. We don't even print pictures off hardly anymore. You used to have scrapbooks or picture books or whatever. And you look at that and say, well, what was going on there? And you could tell the story. God has invited us in on His story so that we can communicate it to the next generation. They need to know the wonders of God, because if they just look at our life and say, well, Dad gets up, he has to take out the garbage sometimes, or he, you know, there's dishes to be done or laundry to be done, they go to work, whatever. That's not a very exciting story. But if we can bring them in on the story of God, and we can connect it to their life and our life as well, now we got something that will go beyond the right now. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20, he says, when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and statutes and rules of the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you will say, okay, so what was the point of that? Why are we living by a different standard than everyone else around us? Then you will say. Okay, so God told him, or this is Moses communicating this, but told them essentially that God was saying, in time when they ask these questions, now you have something to communicate to them. Well, it started long before that. If you go back to Exodus chapter 12, and I'm trying to turn here when I got a microphone in front of me, but Exodus chapter 12, verse 26 and 27, this is right, we're setting up the Passover. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. They're communicating the Passover. They're communicating what God did when he spared them, when he saved them. Is there anything in your life that would stand as a symbol or a reflection of your salvation, that God saved you? For the Israelites, it was to be the Passover. And when they made a big deal about the Passover every year, God said, I've built in a rhythm into your calendar that every year, at least once a year, but it'll happen more, at least once a year, you are to have an intentional conversation with your kids, with your home, and you are to remind them how the Lord saved us, how he passed over us. Maybe that's something we need to do. If you're like me, I can't remember the day I was saved. I wish I could go back and remember it. I mean, I just don't know. So some of you do know. Maybe you have a certificate. There's something there. And maybe that's the day that you put on your calendar and say, every, you know, April 7th, man, we sit down and I'm going to tell them, the Lord saved me from the consequences of my sins. He saved me from the punishment of my sins. He redeemed me, and the old is gone, the new has come. Maybe it's something where you sit down and every year on your anniversary with your spouse and you talk about the marriage covenant the two of you made and with your kids. And maybe you've done it well, maybe you haven't done it well, but now it's a time where you can have that conversation and say, hey, we're going to do it well. Maybe there's something you need to have. Maybe it's a picture on your mantle, or maybe it's something that hangs somewhere that says, hey, when I see this, obviously a wedding band would be low-hanging fruit. When I see a wedding band, I don't go, oh yeah, I forgot I was married. No, it's a symbol. I am married. There is an everlasting covenant right there. My kids recently found a senior picture of my wife, and they think it's fantastic, and they loved her, what did they say, makeup? I don't know, routine, whatever it was, and there's a picture up there, and it's up right next to my other daughter's senior picture. But it's an interesting story. It's an interesting conversation that takes place when those two senior pictures that are, you know, a number of years apart are right next to each other. Same is true with whatever it is in your life. I don't know what it is. I do believe your desk, if you have one, your car, if you have one, your office or your garage or your locker or whatever your kind of space is, it is a reflection of you. And perhaps you go on a hike and you find a rock and you have a conversation and you put that rock somewhere where it, you know, you can remember it. You know, I got things on my shelf, on my bookshelves at the office that are just these little nuanced things that are symbols or reminders, if you will, of different points in my life and especially my family's life, my wife and kids, that would mean absolutely nothing to you. But if you were to come in to my office and say, "Hey, Jared, what is that thing?" Well, let me tell you. That was a time where we went to, I got this big, I can't remember what it's called, but it's when lightning hits the beach and sand turns into this rock. And we were at church that day, at a different church, out of town, and at a beach. And the guy had been collecting this for years on. It was a Father's Day weekend, and he was talking about that, and he had a whole thing. And my daughter went up after service because he said, any kid can come up and come grab one for their father. And so she went up, and she grabbed the biggest one in the basket. So it's been on my shelf for I don't know how many years, and it will remain there until, I guess, I don't have a shelf or until somebody cleans the shelf off. But I can tell you that story. I say that to go back to the very beginning. We need to get in the business of doing some rock hounding. When it comes to our walk with God, we need some things that are good reminders. We need some things that help us remember because we need it and the next generation is going to need it as well. What we do when we rock hound, what we do when we have these types of things, whether it's a literal rock or I got a piece of paper over here that's a reminder. I got a baton over here with some things written on it. Again, there's things in my garage. There's just wherever because I need to remember that, but I trust someday, whether it's my kid or somebody else may say, why do you keep that? Or why is that position where it is? Because I don't want to forget what God did there. Maybe when you look around, you say, I don't have anything like that. I have absolutely nothing like that. I would just charge you to at least consider it. At least consider it, because when you look at the Old Testament, we just looked at Joshua 4, Deuteronomy 6, and Exodus 12. In those three places, they're very, very poignant places in Scripture. There was something that was going to symbolize what God had done. Okay, some of you guys have asked me about the cross necklace. You know that my father-in-law wore it. Like, is that his? No, but it is the one he wore at his camp. That he used to do for, you know, like 30 years on the, I think it was Thursday or Friday night, whatever the last night was, they would hand out these cross. There's a whole thing to it. And I told some people who've asked me, I said, back in September at our men's retreat, the week prior to that, everything was unraveling. I mean, talk about spiritual warfare. It was unbelievable. And so I've been praying the whole thing, and I just saw that cross in my drawer, and I thought, I'm putting it on. You know, again, not being superstitious or nothing like that. Just thought, I'm putting it on. It was just a symbol. It was just a reminder, and every time I felt it, every time, but I had it tucked in my shirt. Well, a couple weeks ago, I said, enough of that, enough of that. When I see it, there's a lot of things that come to my remembrance. There's a lot of things that it symbolizes, but above all, Christ. And above all, when I'm wearing it outside of my shirt or when I'm wearing it, you know, to a ball game or grocery store, and I've had a couple instances where I've started to tuck it in. One time, I think I did tuck it in. It's just a good reminder of who you are. So, men, just consider that. I don't know what it could be for you, and maybe you're already there. I'd love to hear from you if you already got these things, if you're already kind of doing this. But, man, they can be just little knickknacks. It could be something at a souvenir store. I'm not trying to, you know, trivialize it. I'm just saying just something that is a symbol of what God did. Maybe you went somewhere and you and the good Lord. I had an experience where I was in Kentucky one time. I was with my family on a camping trip, and it's just they were all inside napping after hiking and stuff, and I'm sitting around a fire by myself, and just in that moment I just felt like I had a real anchored conversation with the Lord. And in that moment I took a picture of my feet on that ground, and when I see that picture of my feet on my ground on the computer, I remember that conversation with the Lord. Maybe someday someone will ask me about it. Maybe my son will ask me about it. I don't know. But one, it's a good reminder for me. Number two, it helps me then retell the wonders of the Lord. I think we need to get back into the rock hounding business. Now, you know, when those guys went to collect those stones that was going to represent their tribe, they got the biggest one possible. I want you to think about that. When it comes to your tribe, when it comes to your camp, what kind of stones are representing you guys? What kind of things do you have around your house or inside your house or in your car or in your family van or wherever you're at? What do you have that represents, this is something God did, we got to be a part of it, and we can't wait, whether it's our kids, their friends' parents, it doesn't matter who it is, I can't wait till somebody asks me about it, because when they do, and I believe they will, you get to tell the story of God. You get to tell what he's done in your life. Amen. So, men, appreciate you guys listening. Once again, Joshua 4, 6 to 7, Deuteronomy 6, 20, Exodus 12, 26 to 27. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.